everybody. Welcome. It's time to listen to It's All About Food, and I'm Karen Hartglass. And who are you? I don't know, because you haven't been sending me messages at info@realmeals.org, and I want to hear from you. So whether you have questions or not, just if you're listening, let me know you're out there. I want to say hi, okay? Now, it's hot here in New York City, and we're dealing. I'm not someone who likes air conditioning very much, so I'm trying to work that out, staying cool, calm, collected. But I want to, just for a moment, I do this from time to time, I just want to mention three quick things that I'm thankful for. You know, whenever you're feeling not quite your best, or even if you are feeling pretty good, it's always good to think about things you're grateful for. So maybe for a minute you can think about three things, just three things. What are you grateful for? Right now, I'm grateful for Go Organic NYC, and this is not a promo or anything plugging this organization, even though I am plugging them. I'm not getting anything for it. It's a wonderful local organization that delivers produce, and I just got a stunning delivery of collards and kale and celery, all these great materials. I call them juicing materials because I make my juice for the week, green juice, so I have a glass of green juice, at least 12 ounces every day. And what I do is I make it once, put everything in glass jars, and then freeze them. So every day I have one little gift in the freezer that I take out and let defrost and have a juice to drink. And it works out really great, and I'm grateful for that, these wonderful foods that arrive at my door. The other thing I'm grateful for are beans, and I can't say enough about beans. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about them later, but I just had a big bowl of them, and I was hungry, and now I'm stuffed. And they're just a great food. You can do so many different things with them. They're really healthy. They help you maintain your weight, and they clean out your intestines, and that's the last thing that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for being regular. Bowel movements. I've been hearing a lot about people being constipated, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that if we have a moment. But it's nice to keep moving, get the food in, let it go in, the body takes what it needs, and then moves the rest out. And then when something's stuck, when it's not flowing, everything stops and you feel really uncomfortable. Think about beans. They can really help keep things moving. All right, that's my message for today. That's the three things that I'm grateful for. And now I want to bring on a wonderful guest. He's been on the program before, Jane Boris. And he's been exploring and teaching a variety of meditation practices since 1970. And we're going to hear quite a bit about that and his practice and what he calls effortless mind meditation. Jane, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hey, thank you so much, Karen. Great to be back.
Yeah, well, you had a free one-hour webinar last week, and I've been telling my listeners about it, and I was listening, and I enjoyed it very much. And I understand that it's available on replay right now.
Yes. So probably the best way to find it is to just go to my website, effortlessmindmeditation.com. So it's effortlessmindmeditation.com. You go to the classes page, which is, you know, the first page. And in the right-hand corner there, you'll see our free webinar, Yes, I Want to See It button. And if you click that, it'll get you to that webinar. And on the webinar, basically what I do is it's entitled Secrets of Effortless Mind Meditation, something about getting rid of anxiety and experiencing deep peace and relaxation. In the webinar, what I do is I talk about three really essential secrets to successful meditation. And these secrets really apply to any form of meditation. And then I actually teach a very easy, quick form of meditation that just puts you into a deep state in just a few minutes. And then I also, kind of as a bonus, we talk quite a bit about the latest exciting research on meditation. So those are the highlights of the free webinar.
I found that really fascinating, especially the research. I've been reading quite a bit on meditation in mainstream papers. The New York Times and New Yorker regularly have articles talking about how so many high-powered executives today, CEOs, people in very stressful situations, are now turning to meditation, and businesses include meditation practices for their employees. And this is a really good thing. Now, I'm really into health and nutrition, and one thing that I frequently tell to people in my private coaching practice and also people who listen to this program is, if we're full of stress and anxiety, we're eating, it's a disaster. Mm. We're not going to get the nutrition we need. There's going to be all kinds of chemicals swimming around that are going to not do what we need. And even though you may be eating as healthfully as possible, if you're full of stress and anxiety, you're going to have issues, healthful issues. And that's why I think meditation is even more important than good nutrition. And for somebody who's so passionate about food to say that, I realize how powerful it is.
Yes. Well, that is wonderful for you to say that. I also feel, you know, nutrition's really important. In fact, I was going to ask you something about juicing, but I'll hold off on that question and just address what you just are bringing up here. And, you know, it's absolutely true. I mean, they've done a lot of studies and found people don't perform well at work. They, you know, that you can't enjoy your life. You don't perform as well at school if you're anxious or depressed, you know. So it's no surprise that your, you know, your body isn't also going to digest your food properly if you're flooded with the chemistry of anxiety or stress. And so just like our body has, you know, there's a biochemistry that is correlated with anxiety, with depression, with anger. There's also a whole biochemistry that's associated with that meditative state. And even beyond that, you can start to cultivate a biochemistry of bliss, where you just feel the sense of well-being, of wholeness, of peace, at ease, and also your, you know, there's a lot of kind of creative juices flowing in that state. And that has its own biochemistry too. And that's going to be, you know, much more beneficial to be digesting all that healthy food that you're recommending if you're in that state.
You know, I want to say better living with biochemistry, or better living through through chemistry, like DuPont used to say as their slogan decades ago, brings a whole right. new meaning, and the real meaning, I think, of better living with chemistry, and that's our own healthy biochemistry from good thoughts. I wanted to say I went through advanced ovarian cancer and in 2006, and doctors and medical professionals and all kinds of, and my insurance companies, they all made mistakes. I always had to be on guard, and it was a very scary time. And I discovered it was miraculous, but when I started regular meditation, my fear went away. It was so powerful and so empowering, and that's one of the reasons why I really believe in it. But we can really craft our thoughts and our feelings and make them truly our own with meditation.
Well, you know, what you're talking about here reminds me of one of the studies that I discuss in the webinar, where they actually found that stress creates a chemistry in the system that shortens the telomeres. And telomeres are these sort of caps. They're sort of like end caps on the chromosomes and or on the DNA, I think it is. And I'm not a scientist. I'm reading this research, and on the webinar I report it more, you know, exactly as it's stated in the study. But here I'm just off the top of my head saying that these telomeres shorten, When the telomeres get to a certain shortness, there, you know, when they've been degraded to a certain point, then the cells can no longer reproduce and they die. And so what happens during meditation, so stress actually shortens the telomeres. It's actually weakening the cell and shortening the lifespan of our cells. And whereas during meditation, they've found that there's a production of an enzyme called telomerase. And telomerase actually helps to rebuild the telomeres, and so they actually grow longer, which strengthens the cells and makes them more vital so they can divide and reproduce and live longer. And so this is amazing implications that suggest that meditation is going to increase longevity as well as vitality and health. So anyway, that's just a little quick preview of some of the research I talk about on that in the webinar.
Yeah, I was very excited when I heard that. You know, but we're talking on and on here about meditation, and let's get to the basics for a moment, because many people talk about meditation. There are many things that go by the name of meditation. What do you mean by meditation?
That's a great question, and it's it's not a simple answer, but I'll try to, okay, just off the top of my head, what I would say is meditation is the process of going from the conscious thinking level, and that's where we're hanging out all day long. That's where we're experiencing thoughts, our conscious mind. And it's going from that level of awareness of thought to a subtler or quieter level of thought, to a quieter, more abstract level, and to a very faint impulse of a thought at the deepest level of the mind. And then even that dissolves, and you don't fall asleep at that point. You're still aware, but now there's no object of awareness. You're simply abiding in the state of pure awareness, just simple awareness itself. And so that is kind of the course of meditation, going from the conscious mind through these subtler layers of the mind to finally transcend the finest impulse of thought and just abide in pure awareness, which is your very core. That's what I call meditation.
Now, I'm telling people to meditate all the time, and I recommend things, and I get different kinds of reactions, and some people say, oh, no, I get even more anxious when I meditate. I'm too uptight, and I can't sit still. What do you do with
them?
These people?
Right. Okay. So, first off, I have to say, I think that it's really important to get good instruction in meditation. I tried to teach myself. I tried to learn just by reading some books. This was many, many years ago. And I found it really frustrating. And actually there's actually a lot of misunderstanding about meditation. And the reason that is because, sort of the end of meditation is mistaken for the means. And what I mean by that is the end of meditation is this silent state, this abiding in pure awareness where thoughts have subsided and you're just in this expansive pure awareness. So people tend to think, and many instructors of meditation tend to think, that the way then to meditate is to silence the mind. And so they endeavor to somehow still their thoughts, to try to control thoughts, which is really an impossibility. You can't control the mind. If you try to do that, you're going to be very frustrated. So the reason I call effortless mind meditation effortless mind is because it's recognizing that anytime you shift from the conscious thinking mind into another state of consciousness, be that sleep or dreaming or meditation, it has to be easy. It has to be effortless. I mean, just think about when you fall asleep. If you're trying to fall asleep, what happens? You stay awake. You toss and turn. You just want to stop trying. It has to happen naturally. And the same holds true of meditation, because if you're trying to meditate, even the slightest bit of trying, it keeps the mind on the surface. That activity of trying keeps you in the conscious waking state, in the ego mind. And it's only when you kind of effortlessly fall into meditation that you have a good deep meditation. And so, of course, the key is to learn that art of falling into meditation reliably every time you sit to meditate. And then you'll find that meditation's always effortless. It's always deep and you always get the benefits. And it's simple and easy to do. But it takes some instruction to do that. So that's the thing. That's the kind of key to meditation. In fact, that's the first secret that I talk about in the webinar.
So the trick is to learn the art of meditation. I guess it's like crawling and walking and then running one thing at a time.
Yes, ironically, it's almost the reverse of that. Right now we're running. We're always doing things. And so we want to slow down and do less and do less and less and less until we're finally just being and we're abiding in that core of our being. So it's just the reverse of that. But you got the right idea.
Now, there are so many benefits to meditation, and it's supposed to bring clarity and focus and make us more efficient and make our work somewhat easier, and yet people struggle because they are all busy and they don't know where in the day they can find time to sit and be still.
Right. That is one of the things that kind of catches people. And the thing about that is, first off, you have to realize your mind is the lens through which you experience life. And meditation has the effect, as you said, of really calming the mind, clearing out the clutter, allowing you to be fully present in your life and enjoy it so much more. So first off, there is a great value in that. I mean, that is something worth having. It's worth investing a few minutes of your day to start to experience that. So, and the other thing is, once you experience that, you have more. Oops, I apologize for the dogs in the background. I hope they're not too loud.
They have something to say.
And once you have that, because you are fully present, you can be much more efficient in whatever you do. And also you're using more of the mind so you can be more creative. In fact, some more of the research that I talk about on the webinar is meditation has been shown to actually increase intelligence and creativity as well as improve memory. And so, I mean, you can just be more productive if you are using more of, you know, what you have. So really it's a good investment. I mean, probably a lot of your listeners have heard that story that, Gandhi was talking to some of his supporters and he said, and they were looking at his schedule and he said, well, I have to meditate at least an hour a day. And they said, oh, Gandhi, you know, you can't do that. You're too busy. You have too much to do. And he said, oh, well, in that case, I better meditate 2 hours a day.
I love that story. I really love it. You know,
We can take a lesson from that, you know.
Absolutely. You mentioned improved memory. So as I'm getting older and my friends and family members are getting older, some people are being plagued with memory loss and dementia and Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Meditation can help brain health. Does it help with these diseases and ailments?
Well, okay, I'm sort of doing a spoiler here on my webinar, but yes, another one of the research studies, a couple of studies to this effect that have been very exciting. You know, as we grow older, they find that there's certain parts of our brain that are really critical to our rational thought and our attention. And those parts of the brain, as we grow older, tend to thin out. And actually, the actual mass of our brain gets less and the brain becomes lighter. And this is might concern you because we want our brain to stay healthy and vital and in as good a shape as ever. Well, what they found in these recent studies is that in longer-term meditators, those areas of the brain have actually not only been preserved, but they're thicker than the non-meditators, and so they're actually getting more brain matter. Their brain is actually becoming more as they age. And that's just really amazing. You know, that suggests that we don't have to experience
and
that decline.
Everybody should be doing this.
Yes. I mean, there's many good reasons to do meditation. And like you say, almost every week, more research comes out, showing the benefits of meditation. So it's getting to be a no-brainer, you know, that this is a good thing to do.
It's I'm trying to make a pun with no-brainer, but I'm not. I'm just going to skip over that.
I sort of hesitated to say that because it was kind of a pun, but whatever.
Okay. For people that aren't familiar with you and your work, I just want to say that you've taken many long retreats. You've lived in a cave at 10,000 feet in the Himalayas for months in silence, eating one meal a day.
True,
Why did you do this? Why is this necessary?
Well, you know, first off, it's not necessary. It is nice. I've been a very passionate, dedicated meditator since 1970, and I've explored, meditation and studied with various teachers all around the world. And for 4 years, I lived in India, and I taught at an ashram there. I taught meditation. Some of the listeners may know of Amichi. She's sometimes called the hugging saint. Anyway, I was the meditation teacher at her ashram for 4 years. And when she would leave the ashram and go on a world tour, I would head up to the Himalayas and I would find a cave and take a retreat. And I did this because, of course, on a retreat, it's just a chance to take a sort of a giant step in your progress. But what I recommend to people who maybe aren't as extreme as I am a weekend retreat from time to time, maybe a couple times a year, is just fabulous. It does help to kind of step back, get out of your normal routine, really dive deep into meditation, and you just get supercharged. So that's definitely of value. You don't have to do the silence. You certainly don't have to live in a cave. But by the way, I will say, if anybody's interested, in October, I'm taking people, a small group, to the Himalayas, and we're going to have a meditation retreat, up to the source of the Ganges, which is where I did my meditating up there. And we don't stay in caves. We stay in the best facilities available. And it's just a wonderful experience of kind of a cultural immersion. And, of course, you have the beauty of the Himalayas. So it's just fabulous. And, again, if people have an interest in that, they can look at my website, effortlessmindmeditation.com.
Now, you're a family man and you have children now.
That's true.
And how old are your children?
Well, they're not. Let's see, one is 35 and one is 27. And
okay, they're grown up.
They've actually both live in India. They came when those 4 years that I lived in India, the whole family lived there. And so that was a very formative experience for them. And now they're just very keen on their sort of spiritual growth. And they live in India, at least for now.
Wow. I just wondered, when they were really young, did you go through some sort of meditation techniques with them?
Well, yes, absolutely. They're both fabulous meditators.
Because I'm thinking that if it was part of our culture, it would be so much easier if we were just raised with meditation, just like breathing and eating and watching television. Meditation would just be one of those normal things, and it would be so easy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it should be taught in schools. I mean, in many cases, it actually is. There are schools that teach meditation, and it's becoming more a part of the culture than it was, say, just 20, 40 years ago. So we're getting there. We're slowly but surely getting there.
Great. So you said you had a question about green juice, and I thought now would be a good time for you to ask it.
Okay. So I juice every morning, and I love it, and it does feel very healthy. But the one thing I just don't like about it is all of the, you know, what the sort of refuse that comes, you know, the grindings that come from the juice. And of course, we've tried different things with those. We've composted, we've fed them to our dogs. I've even made soup out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do with the leftovers after that juicing process?
Right. So I know many people think it's wasteful. And the first thing is, not everyone needs to juice. People can blend those foods and get the fiber, and then they would be eating it. And for many people, that's very good. But for people that want more energy or want or in a health crisis and really want to heal, or they just like it, there is this leftover fiber. And composting is a great thing if you can do it, because then it's really not wasted. The nutrients go back into the earth, and that's fine. I used to compost, but I live in an apartment in New York City, and it's just not designed for composting.
Right.
So unfortunately, right now, I just put it in the waste and wish it well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I've also found composting to be kind of difficult. We just have one of those barrels, and you have to add other stuff into it. And it's a bit of a, you know, an exercise, and we don't always have the time. So,
right.
You know,
now, sometimes it depends on what I'm making in my juice, because I typically use kale and collard, celery, and lemon. But if I'm heavier on the, celery and carrots, for example, I might juice them first and save that fiber and make vegetable broth with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use the dark greens in vegetable broth, because that can get a little skunky.
Okay. Well, great. Is there much nutrition left over in that, you know, the fibers that are left?
You know, I'm going to say I don't know. There's certainly fiber. And it depends on how efficient your juicer is. I like to pass. Here's one thing that I do. Depending on the juicer that you have, some are better than others. I take that fiber and I run it through the juicer a bunch of times to squeeze out every possible juice that I can get from it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of wastes a little less.
But right. We've done that too.
Juicing is really a luxury. And I'm grateful to be able to juice. I really think it had a tremendous impact on my survival and my health, and I'm glad that we're able to do it.
Yeah, me too. I love it. And sometimes we do make shakes. You know, it just depends, but mostly we juice. Well, great. All right. Well, we're on the same page,
so
it sounds
just
like.
Before
well,
we
if
go,
I could just mention one last time, and the way to find that webinar, which is effortlessmindmeditation.com, and then go to the classes page and you'll see the button, and it is available until August 11th. So at least until then, you can click on that button and see the free webinar.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Jane, for joining me again on It's All About Food. And I hope we do meet up in New York like we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. I am going to connect with you next time I come to New York City. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Karen.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care.
All right. You too.
All right. That was Jane Boris, the author of Effortless Mind and the creator of Effortless Mind Meditation. And you can also go to my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and on the right-hand side, there's a link to that one-hour webinar if you want to find it and listen to it. And you can, as he said, listen to it until August 11th. And I really recommend it. Just find the time. And then all of a sudden, you'll find you'll have more time for everything. Let's take a little break, shall we? And then we'll be back with Grace Kim, and we're going to be talking about urban rooftop farming.